Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One. It is Monday, February 19th, 2024. My name is Mark Daly on what is the very end, the last few hours of the family day long weekend here in BC and in many other provinces in Canada. It's also, of course, President's Day down in the USA. And for the rest of you, sadly, it's just a Monday. So wherever you are, I hope that your week has gotten off to a good start. And it certainly is nice for myself. I've been in a course since the start of the year, and that wound up on Saturday. And I got everything done, like all the other chores and errands and things that needed to be done. So since Saturday lunchtime, I've just been so chilled, so relaxed. It's been great. I've really been looking forward to that for a very, very long time. Okay, a number of things I want to go over tonight. Before we do that, I just want to give a shout out to the good folks at the Race Weekend magazine. Head on over to them at theraceweekend.com, and that's RACEWKND.com. Or enter our promo code at checkout, and that's Scuderia Pod, and you can receive a 10% discount on a subscription. Also, a big shout out to the crew at RacingExclusives.com for unique and one-of-a-kind Formula One merch, complete with a certificate of authenticity. Check out everything that they've got assembled. As I mentioned, going to be putting together a fantasy league coming up pretty quick. So as soon as I've got that set up, I will circulate that link so that you can all join in. Got some prizes lined up, so looking forward to doing that. If anybody has been in touch with Mark Hamilton, you can ask him to please drop off the autographed Pierre Gasly helmet that was, you know, kindly provided by Racing Exclusives to fans of this show. And still haven't heard from him in over a month, so who knows what's going on. Anyways, just moving along, a couple of new reviews. Want to give a shout out first of all to Debbie in Chicago, who left a review on Apple Podcast saying, "This is a great podcast led by a man so passionate, knowledgeable about F1. Mark, great job. You are a pleasure to listen to. Please keep going solo or with a new host." And thank you so much for that, Debbie. Really appreciate the kind words. And then also Clivo08 in Canada said, "Glad to hear you're still keeping the show going. You're the main person I like to listen to on the podcast. Thumbs up emoji." Well, thank you, Clivo08 and Debbie, for the kind words. Really, it's really rewarding. It's a pleasure. I'm glad that it brings so much to you guys, and makes me feel like what I'm doing brings value and enjoyment to everyone out there. So thank you so much for that. Finally, just before we get into the news, just a YouTube on the update. Other way around. How can you tell it's after 10 p.m. on a Monday night? I'm going to have an update for YouTube here. Going to start running the live streams again. I actually accidentally did that last week, I think it was. I thought I had everything shut off. Not that it was a bad show or something. Actually, it was a nice clean take. It went pretty flawlessly from start to finish. I was really quite pleased about that. And it was funny because I was just, I had no idea it was turned on to live stream it. And then all of a sudden I noticed that the live stream window, the YouTube studio is up and running in the background, a bunch of people in the chat. And I missed doing that. So I will start doing that again. So for the time being, I'm going to be running the show by myself. I've got a bunch of people that I'm going to be bringing on the show for interviews to co-host, here and there. And so it might depend, number one, on the guest, if they're comfortable in video or live streaming. Excuse me. And the second thing is, as well, is it depends too if this is going to be pre-recorded and maybe something I'm going to drop into the show at some other point, or maybe, I don't know, we'll see how it works. Maybe some of the live streams might be just a little bit abbreviated without some pre-recorded content like interviews or conversations with other people in the F1 space. So we'll see how it goes. And Yeah, looking forward to starting that again. Okay, I wanted just to backtrack a couple of days ago. Thank you one and all who have left messages on the studio call-in line. You can there's a link pinned to my profile on or timeline on X. You can head on over there, leave a short message. You have up to 5 minutes if you've got something you'd like to say, you know, have played on the podcast. If you don't, please say beforehand that this is just you know, between yourself and myself. But if you want to have you know, you got something to say, you got a take, you've got a question or whatever it is, by all means, follow that link, record a brief message, and I'll play it on the show. So thank you to everybody that's done that so far. I had one here the other night that came in during the middle of the recording session from Tim Gonzalez. I'm going to play that right now. Just didn't have enough time to actually tee it up there on Thursday night. And well, let's hear what Tim has to say, first of all, before I address his comments.
Hey, Mark, this is Tim Gonzalez from New York City, longtime listener of the show. Just wanted to thank you for all the work you've done, continuing to give us great content. Now for my question, wanted to know what your thoughts were on the RB20. The design looks to be a bit controversial. It's not exactly a looker. Looks to copy a couple of design cues from some other cars, most notably the Mercedes of last year. So I just want to know what your thoughts were on that. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Tim. And I just realized, well, I didn't just realize this. I haven't been to New York yet. I'm dying to go there. Have to get out to the Big Apple at some point. It's one of those places I just got to go. Anyways, going on to Tim's questions and comments there. And I bet you do a little bit of a scratching around. And I think that Tim hit on a number of really, really good points. You know, having only, you know, the opportunity to see that was launched there on Thursday. And yeah, there's absolutely, you know, components of different cars in there. And it's very interesting. I mean, if you look at the RB20, it's got a very, very aggressive line to it. It does look, you know, quite remarkably different from the RB19. So I did do some looking around in addition to my own observations, but some of the best ones I found, some of the comments there were by made by Romain Grosjean, former Formula One driver. He also has done some time in Indy as well. He's got his own YouTube channel and really quite you know, interesting analysis here, and I'll just quote a couple of you know, the couple of the observations from Roman. First one is, quote, "I didn't really know what to expect. I was surprised that we'd be seeing their new car, if they were just going to carry on from the car from last year with a bit of an upgrade, or if they're going to go for some interesting moves. And they did. They absolutely did. The front wing looks like a beautiful mustache, if I'm being honest. Very loaded to the center and not so much to the inside and outside. It's a different shape from the others. And look at the side pod entrance. I was very interested in the Mercedes side pod entrance, and the Red Bulls are not so dissimilar. Very tiny, very much on the inside, and very different from what we've seen last year. Look at how clearly you can see on the front of the diffuser where they're going, and to bring a lot of air for the ground effect, how wide the front suspension is. Try to get nothing in the way of the front of the floor. The nose goes to the main plate, and that is also quite a difference from last year. The side pods, are a little bit less extreme at the back. They're just going down, but the difference is really at the front of the side pods. The difference is the front wing and with the nose going all the way down. The mustache front wing was already here last year already. The rear wing, not so much difference, but the pull rod front suspension, different from everyone else's that's on a push rod. Some interesting choices made by Red Bull, and I'm very excited to see what the car is going on to be doing on the track, because obviously the last 2 years they were unbeatable, and it just didn't seem that they just didn't go a step in a conservative direction, but they went for a very aggressive car and made some very interesting choices," end quote. So yeah, I mean, if you want to see more, go check out Roman's YouTube channel. But yeah, it's interesting that they've taken such you know, an aggressive design posture towards this car, right? Because the RB19 was there was nothing wrong with it, right? I mean, some of the biggest questions we had is like, how, you know, how much was left in that car, because there weren't really too too many times where they were pushed and challenged throughout the year last year. I mean, most of the times it was Max just disappearing down the road. And I always felt like they had a little bit more, maybe quite a lot more in their back pocket. So obviously they've decided to keep evolving and developing this car. I mean, the current regs have another year or two to run until we hit 2026. So we're going to see one more design evolution in this this current formula before we hit the new regs that will come online for 2026. And it's very bold. I mean, there's a number of other comments out there. Where's the next set of comments I have? Oh, here we go. So the next one is Guido van der Garde, who is a former Dutch driver. And so he was talking to Racing News 365. Guido had to say, quote, "It is nice that Red Bull has copied the rear of the Mercedes a bit. I was a bit surprised by that, but then you see that Mercedes has done something right with that car somewhere. With the new car, you can see the inlets of the side pods. These are innovations that have not seen at all in recent years. Then you see that the team is always one step ahead of the rest. When you see the car like that, I think the RB20 will be a rocket," end quote. So that's a bit of an interesting comment, you know, especially that last sentence there in Guido's quote. He says that you see this is a team that is always one step ahead of the rest. And my first reaction when I saw that was, how soon people forget, right? Like, yeah, I know it's been all Red Bull the past couple of years. Go back to 2021, a real back and forth between Lewis and Max. And I guess you could really make an argument that both those teams or both those cars were fairly evenly matched that year. Obviously, it came down to the final race of the season in Abu Dhabi. But prior to that, they've always been a very innovative team. I mean, the Renault engine was not delivering the power that they needed, in the previous era of Formula One prior to 2020, whenever it was that they switched to the Honda power. But before that, these were all the things that kind of comments that were reserved for Mercedes only. Anyways, that being said, Van der Garde does make a good couple of observations there, that there is some influence in the rear end of the Red Bull RB20 compared to the Mercedes, and it's very bold. And that's the next comment that I have that I managed to find was some of the things that Sergio Perez has had to say about the new RB20, and a little bit understated, but when he was interviewed at the launch of the RB20 a couple of days ago before the weekend, Perez said, yes, a bit, but at the same time, okay, well, I'll back that up again. So he was asked about some of the influence of the Mercedes designs and concepts that have been integrated into the new RB20, and then so that tees up a little bit better before that full start there. Anyways, Checo had to say, quote, yes, a bit, but at the same time, it just shows how much this team is looking to move forward and pushing all the boundaries. It's really great to see. It just shows the hunger that there is in this team. You know, we had such a dominant car last year that you wouldn't imagine us changing the concept as much, and I think it's really brave from Red Bull to do that. Essentially, our low speed seems to be looking at a better window, but obviously until we hit the track, we will not know, end quote. So, you know, that is interesting, right? I mean, we see some of these concepts that are being integrated into the RB20, especially some of the stuff that maybe Mercedes has kind of walked away from a little bit. I mean, some of the concepts, like especially like the zero side pods that Mercedes went with the last couple of years, they decided to completely ditch that concept in the W14. Well, they went with it heavily in the W14, but carried it over into the W15 last year. And it still wasn't working the way that they wanted, and still they persisted, which I thought was really interesting, because if the car wasn't that great in 2022 by their own high standards, why would they carry it over into 2023? And, you know, by my reasoning, at least, it meant that they weren't done with that. They felt that there was still a good chance that they would be able to uncork the potential from those design concepts that they had. But still, at the beginning of the last year, they struggled. It still wasn't exactly the way that they envisioned that it would work. And those cars just were going to be the well, just never lived up to their expectations or hopes that it would. And then they went to their plan B. And Toto Wolff was very upfront about that at the beginning of last season and basically said that if it wasn't going to work out, they did have something in their back pocket that they could pull out if they needed to. And that's absolutely what they did. And I wouldn't say that they completely, you know, put that previous design and some of those issues to bed. I mean, they were improved, but obviously it was a little step forward. It wasn't a quantum leap step forward that they really wanted, obviously, to catch up to Red Bull, to challenge for races and ergo championships, because we know how that story in 2023 ended, right? I mean, it was all Red Bull, it was all Max, and it was just a dominance that kind of built on the year before, right? So anyways, interesting to those observations. And I just wanted to keep talking about that because Romain Grosjean kept his analysis going and was talking about the W15, the Mercedes car for this year. Romain's comments for that was, quote, "I think it's the most good-looking car. I'm glad to see the Silver Owl back on track. I think it's the car with the Red Bull that I'm most intrigued to see on track. I think there's some very bold moves. There's some very bold decisions made on the car. Look at the front wing and that big scoop. It does remind me a lot of the 2006 F1 cars I used to be in love with, and then those side pods. They went for a very small entry to get as much flow as they can under the side pods, but I'm very excited to see that front wing, very excited to see about that side pod entry, the front wing design with a lot of very different plate sizes, flap sizes. The front wing is very intense, very, very loaded, so they must be very confident to the rear downforce, because there's one thing that is very easy to do in Formula One is to create a lot of front downforce. You just put on a big front wing and you're going to have all the downforce in the world that you would want. But every flow of air that hits a Formula One car hits the front wing first. So if the air doesn't go exactly where you're planning on getting it after it hits the front wing, you're not going to go anywhere. And that is the key element in every Formula One car. I must admit that they are very, very intense choices on the car, and I'm very excited to see what it does. I'm really hoping to see Mercedes back fighting at the front with Ferrari, with Red Bull, with Aston Martin, with McLaren, with anyone. Basically, I want everyone to be fighting, but I think in terms of everything we've seen, everyone seems to be quite conventional to the points that's on the Mercedes that's very different and very unique," end quote. And well, you know, that's kind of an interesting comment, right? Where Romain says, "I want to see Mercedes back fighting at the front with Ferrari and Red Bull and Aston Martin with McLaren," which is, you know, even though they haven't been where they, you know, they want to be, and that's leading the way, which they did from 2014 to 2020 without a doubt, and tailed off in the last couple of years. But I mean, they're still up there with Ferrari, with Aston Martin, with McLaren. They're all kind of mixed in there. It's just those three, four other teams want to be catching up and fighting closer with the Red Bull. But I do agree with Romain that the two cars that, well, I'm interested to see how they all are going to perform. But you know, the Red Bull obviously is the one that everybody's going to look at first, and the Mercedes and Ferrari, because those have really been the three big teams that have, you know, been most successful over the last 10 years. Mercedes more than anyone else, but Red Bull have had their moments, obviously, in the last couple of years, you know, being quite dominant, and then some race victories here and there before that, and some podiums, you know, going back even before the dominant era starting in 2022. And then Ferrari is always the big question mark. I mean, this is the team that has like the biggest following anywhere in Formula One, has all the fans, and they, you know, continue to disappoint most of the time and frustrate at others, and it's just that story. I mean, they have been not quite where they need to be over the last couple of years, and we see flashes, and they kind of like attempt and tantalize and tease us, and they can't quite live up to it. So who knows? I mean, it's going to be another fascinating team to watch this year, with Fred Vasseur on board, and with Lewis coming, and all the things that are going on there. But yeah, great question, Tim. I know I covered a lot of ground there. Like everyone else, I'm fascinated to see how these transitions, but these new design elements in the RB20 play out once they hit the track, and it's not going to be long. I mean, preseason testing is going, I believe it's today or tomorrow anyways, starting on Tuesday, February 20 in Bahrain. We're going to have some testing down there for a couple of days. Then we're going to get about 10 days of break, and then we're going to be back there at the beginning of March. March 2nd is going to be the first Grand Prix of the year. That, of course, is going to get real, and it's already serious, but things are really going to take off from there. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Going to come back on the flip side. Just want to talk briefly about Ferrari. I got some more Ferrari stuff at the end of the show that I've sort of planned out here, but that's more to do with Lewis Hamilton. But there's some comments losing names here. Carlos Sainz, yes. Sorry, Carlos. It's me, not you. Anyways, Carlos was talking to DAZN earlier this week just about the SF24, and I just wanted to address that briefly and do that in just a moment. So please don't go away. I'll be back in just a moment.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back to the show. And yes, before we get into the rest of the news, there were some interesting comments made by Carlos Sainz speaking to DAZN a couple of days ago, or is it DAZN? I can never remember. anyways, Carlos in an interview said, quote, "It seems to me to be a very nice car, very different from the 2023. There are quite big changes that I hope to go in the right direction. It seems that there is a tendency for all the cars to become similar and to see who's getting it right, who's better fast. There are things in this car that are always from Ferrari. There are also things from Mercedes, Aston Martin, Red Bull. I think that among the team, all the teams we are taking with a grain of salt, what we like about each one. The engineers at Ferrari have innovated. There are things about the car that are not seen that are purely ideas at Ferrari that I'm sure will give us more performance." End quote. And I think, I don't think there's anything really, shocking in that statement there, but it just goes to prove that if a team innovates and comes up with a concept for whatever it might be, goes on their car, and there's a performance gain in it, the other teams know what everybody else is doing, and they're quickly to try and adopt and come up with something similar, because if they don't try and match those gains or improve and better them in their own innovation and design work, they're soon going to be left behind. But I think the key takeaway from there is that Sainz says that the car feels very different from last year's, and there's some big changes that he said I hope go in the right direction. So it sounds like they've made some big bold moves themselves, and whether or not they pay off will wait to be seen. And that's the one thing that we have to take into account when we get to preseason testing this week, is that it's really going to be hard to really line up the times and match the times, because everybody's going to be doing different things. They're all going to be testing different components. They're going to be trying out different things. Sometimes they're sandbagging, and they're going to be running different fuel loads and tire compounds and things like that. And it might be very exciting and a bit of a tease if we see that the McLaren or Ferrari or Aston Martin or Ferrari or whoever it might be go and set the fastest times in testing. But it really doesn't count until we get to the first Grand Prix of the year. And let's be honest too, it's going to take a couple of races before things really settle in and we really get a good idea of where things are going to go this year. I mean, and let's just try and contain ourselves right now, because if Max comes out and Sergio comes out of the gate and they just disappear down the track in Bahrain, that we shouldn't get overreact, because at least not after the first race, that this is going to be all Red Bull, all Verstappen, all Perez all season long. Yeah, I mean, if that's what we see the first two or three, four races of the year, that's going to be a pretty good and ominous sign that they're still miles ahead of everyone, and they have taken a big risk in what they've done with the RB20, and it's you got to have to go under the assumption that they've designed another car that's going to be difficult to beat. It's going to be the class of the field, but we won't know. But anyways, just wanted to throw those comments from Carlos Sainz in there. Just also wanted to touch really quickly again on the whole Christian Horner investigation at Red Bull. So, I mean, there's been a number of statements, issued by different parties over the past couple, several days. The latest was the FIA, so they've kind of chimed into the whole situation. This includes Formula One, Ford, and it just kind of keeps going. And again, it's just kind of like more of the same. It's brief and it's kind of concise and to the point. So the FIA's statement regarding the Christian Horner investigation is, quote, "In relation to the independent investigation currently being undertaken by Red Bull GmbH, the FIA reiterates that until such time as the investigation has concluded and the outcome is known, we will not be commenting further. The FIA remains committed to upholding the highest standards of integrity, fairness, and inclusivity within the sport." End quote. So there you go. I mean, kind of more of the same. I mean, most of the other statements have been, fairly similar over the last couple of days. Andrew Benson, who's a journalist with the BBC, and McLaren Formula E driver Sam Bird were discussing this situation with Christian Horner in this investigation on the BBC Checkered Flag. The BBC Checkered Flag podcast a couple of days ago, and I'll just read some of the comments here. So Bird had to say, quote, "Is going to be a distraction for the team, in as much as I think it's really damning for the people involved with the team, so sponsors and potential sponsors. It's not good for your image, is it, for your team boss to be accused of things that he's being accused of, quite frankly, shocking for Red Bull. But at no point do I think it's going to affect their performance on track. Max isn't going to be getting into his car at Red Bull thinking, oh, I wonder what's going to be happening with Christian Horner and the allegations. Adrian knew he hasn't been thinking about that for last 8 months while he's been plotting to make this masterpiece of a car that could be scintillatingly quick when it hits the track in a couple of days' time. This car has been many, many months in the workshop and is being developed and honed. They had the most amazing year last year. They've got a massive leap on everybody else. They will continue, I think, to win from the offset of this year, so I don't think there's going to be much of a change when it comes to Bahrain. I think you'll see Red Bull at the front." End quote. Let's just be honest. I don't want to kind of like get into it. I mean, we're not going to speculate on the allegations until things come out. But the fact of the matter that this has come to light, that there's investigation, means that something serious has happened in my mind, and unfortunately that just needs to be dealt with. And if he needs to be reprimanded or punished or whatever it might be because of some egregious behavior, then that's just the way that that it needs to be. And if that affects the team, then that's solely on Christian Horner. I mean, of course, these are all allegations, but the one thing I keep coming back to whenever this story keeps popping up, and of course it's going to keep popping up until it's resolved one way or another, that would you really want to be that person to kind of get that out there and you know, potentially your name, and even if it doesn't become public, I mean, at least internally in Formula One's a small world, would you potentially want to risk your reputation, employability within Formula One if they were just, you know, groundless allegations? So, you know, that's just, you know, just a thought on that. I really hope that that somebody hasn't been harmed. I hope that Christian Horner hasn't done what he's alleged to have done. But like I say, I mean, the situation is what it is. It needs to go through the process and then potentially the repercussions. And at the end of the day, I mean, if they're negative repercussions because of some bad behavior and some unprofessional or egregious behavior, then that's, you know, that's a beef that people should have with Christian Horner. Potentially, if it ever gets there, who knows? Let's just kind of leave it at that, and you know, we'll bring it up again at some point in the future if we need to. Okay, I wanted to talk a little bit more about Red Bull themselves. You know, I wanted to just talk about some of the comments that Max Verstappen made about Adrian Newey. We've spent quite a bit of time so far talking about the new RB20, and you know, there's some speculation out there, and you know, rightly so. I guess people are always going to speculate about where people are going to go in Formula One. And now that Lewis is off to Ferrari in 2025, some of the rumors out there is that that Ferrari could be, you know, trying to make a move to get Adrian Newey to bring him over to Maranello. And who knows? I mean, he's been at Red Bull for a long time. Max Verstappen had some quotes, a couple of things to say addressing that when he was interviewed by Motorsport Magazine, and he said, quote, "No one will be like Adrian. That's the great thing about it. Everyone is different, and everyone achieves success in a different way. Therefore, no, you cannot replace Adrian, because there is only one Adrian. But it's wonderful to see new talent coming in, and he's been working with them for a long time. And it's wonderful to see how this talent goes its own way and how we achieve what we do," end quote. So, you know, Christian Horner also had to weigh in that, and he was just a little bit more businesslike. And he said, quote, "Look, I'm not going to discuss the ins and outs of individual contracts. We have a great team. We have great strength in depth. Adrian has been here for a long time, as I have, but there are also many others that play a key role. So yeah, not going to talk about the contractual details of employees of the team." So one thing that's interesting to note here is that that Newey is 65. So, you know, retirement age-ish. Who knows how long he wants to go? I mean, I think his record in Formula One, all the success that he's been part of over the course of his career, and I don't have all those stats here off the top of my head, but I mean, he's had a very successful career in Formula One, and you would think at 65, if he was ready to walk away, then why not? I mean, he's done everything that you know, that you could wish to achieve, and I mean, he's become a legendary name in the sport, and rightly so, and deservedly so. And but that doesn't mean to say that he will see out the rest of his time in Formula One with Red Bull. I mean, obviously, if Ferrari were to convince him to sign a contract and go there, that Red Bull would make that as difficult as possible. And we talk about the whole concept of gardening leave here in Formula One quite a bit. On the podcast, we've talked about it before. This whole concept that you know, you basically sit at home, you know, being paid out or not, because you know there's a, you know, there's a clause in your contract that basically prevents you from walking out of one team headquarters on a Friday and then showing up to a rival team on a Monday morning to start your new job. I mean, there are so many examples of you know, folks that have been on gardening leave in Formula One. Don't need to really get into specifics. It's just a thing, and it's such a uniquely Formula One thing as well. And it makes sense, because there are so many important, very confidential, top secret things that each of these teams do that go into the design of their cars and the construction and build of their cars, that they're going to try and keep as that under wrap as long as they can. And if you can keep an Adrian Adrian Newey on the sidelines for a year, whatever it might be, by the time they go from a Red Bull to a Ferrari, for example, that, yeah, they'll have, you know, some interesting things that, you know, maybe at that point they'll be able to talk about them. I don't know specifics of these NDAs that, that folks might have in Formula One. Who knows, maybe they're allowed to talk about some things after a certain point of time. Maybe it's anything goes once you've finished out that, that gardening leave. The point is, I guess, that Formula One moves so quickly that if you have information of what Ferrari were doing 12 or 18 months ago, is it still even relevant? But at least in the short term, when that information could make a difference right now or for the next race, or help influence the course of design upgrades and improvements to the new team's car, yeah, that would be, you know, that's an area that's obviously very sensitive, and nobody wants to get, you know, a former employee give one of their rivals, you know, a leg up and an advantage when they switch team in the middle of a season or the over an off season, whatever it might be. But Max is absolutely correct. There is only one Adrian Newey, and there are some obviously a lot of brilliant people in Formula One, and he's one of the big names that we've come to know over the years. But it's interesting too, because both Christian Horner and Max in this article, they do hint to that, where they straight out say it, that there's a lot of new talent coming into the system, working in the system. And there's, you know, he's obviously a very big piece and a very key person in Red Bull, but there's plenty of new talent coming along, and we'll just have to sit back and wait for time to pass and see who is going to be the next Adrian Newey in the future. But yeah, very interesting to talk about that one. Okay, going to move on to the next story here, and this is another interesting one about Max Verstappen and just addressing his own future potentially in Formula One after the regulations change in 2026. So the power units are going to be changing. So the engines are going to be very, very different to what we have. So it's going to alter the ratio of the internal combustion engine to the hybrid portion of the engine. And the whole point is to have increased electrical power generation. So they're going to stick with the 1.6 liter turbocharged V6. The MGUH is going to be dropped. They're going to keep the MGUK, but its power output is going to triple from 120 kilowatts to 350 kilowatts. So it's going to mean that they expect it's going to be a very, very different experience for the drivers with these new engines. So Max, he's not always, one to hold back, and he's fairly, fairly comfortable in speaking at his mind. He was in that same interview with Germany's Motorsport magazine. Max had some thoughts on the 2026 engine regs, and even going back to last summer, the day that they had in the simulator for how they expect these cars to handle and drive in 2026, he said they looked pretty terrible, and then he went on to say it wasn't something that he was particularly excited about, and I'm just kind of parsing and paraphrasing there. Anyways, in this interview with a Motorsport magazine, Max had to say, quote, "I don't know what the figures would be different. I don't think we're stupid. We'll find out how good it will be. At the moment, it's still not particularly exciting." He's kind of like doubled down on his comments. And the interviewer actually asked Max, he said, could the new power units be a factor in whether or not he renews his contract at Red Bull? And Max said, quote, "Yes, possibly." So at the moment, Max is under contract until 2028. But, that's kind of a, I don't know. I know that the modeling that they have in Formula One nowadays is very, very advanced, and they can do a lot of things in the simulator, but this is something that's still evolving. And, I think this is Max just being Max. And even though he's not one that has like a really flamboyant and very expressive personality, I think this is kind of a little bit dramatic in Max's kind of own manner. And I really don't know how you could make that call right now when these engines are still a couple of years off. I mean, of course, he's going to have a better indication than basically everyone else, especially those of us outside of Formula One. But I really don't know how you can make that call until you try it. And I mean, if he sticks with Formula One, he sticks with his contract. He's got to ride this thing out for another 4 years till the end of 2028 as it is. So we'll just have to wait and see what he decides to do. But I think it's way too early for Max to make that call, or really even make that sort of where that, that place where he kind of like draws the line in the sand that either these things have to be good or not. But, I can understand if it, changes the driving experience, maybe it makes it less enjoyable. I mean, at that point in 2028, who knows what, if anything, Max will have to, prove at that point. I mean, he's already racked up a couple of world championships, really quickly. I mean, he's winning races like they're going out of style. Maybe at that point, if it's not entirely to his liking, maybe that's the point where he decides that, I've had enough. I've done everything I've wanted to. I've cemented my name in the history books, and it's time to go on to do something else. Part of me is kind of jealous that you could be in a position to kind of call the shots like that, but who at the end of the day would really resent him for that? I mean, especially if he goes on and wins a couple more championships between now and then. I don't know, personally, if Max wants to be the one that wins 7-8 world championships, beats Schumacher's record or Hamilton's record, whoever it might be. I mean, obviously Schumacher and Hamilton are tied on 7, but Max, I think whenever he decides to call a day, he will do it purely because of his own reasons, and the timing will be his own, and won't be necessarily because he feels, obligated to do anything more once he gets to the point that he feels that that he's done enough, and his contract and everything, his contract situation is favorable to him, and maybe at that point he just decides, I'm good. Anyhow, going to stop here for another quick break. Come back on the other side. Got a couple more stories before I wrap it up, so please don't go away. I'll be back in just one moment.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back to the show. All right, a couple more things, and just going to stick with the Ferrari and some Lewis Hamilton news here before we wrap it up. So the first one here is Frederic Vasseur, the team principal, and he basically said flat out that he doesn't believe that this year in 2024 is going to be a transition year, and just to kind of set all the pieces up to welcome Lewis Hamilton in for 2025, and it's businesses. Usual. Anyways, Vasseur had to say, quote, "No, this is wrong. 2024 won't be a transition year. It's quite an important season for us, and I'm fully focused on this. I think the best way to prepare something is to do a good job. It means that we are focused on 24. We want to get the best. We want to win races. We want to continue on the path of 2023, and we won't be thinking at all about 2025. I would say that by the DNA, if you start happy with what you have, you are dead. It means that you always need to be on the mindset of continuous improvement, to work on your weaknesses and to try to step on some areas. And it's a no-end project. For some people are starting to join the team now, and this is good news. It's day after day. I think we are reinforcing the team and we are making steps. But then again, it's not tomorrow morning that I will say, now we are there. I'm happy with the situation. If you start to have this kind of approach, I think it's beginning of the end, end quote. And absolutely, you know, you have to keep pushing, you know, success, you know, success builds on success. It's one of those things. It's just like if you kind of have this, you know, if you believe in bad luck that, you know, we all get it at some points, but whatever it is, if things are going good, things tend to stay going good. If things are bad, sometimes, you know, it just kind of perpetuates itself. But, you know, he has to be thinking about the future as well. I mean, right now, they're going to be thinking of the year ahead. And there's lots of things that the Ferrari need to address, both on the car, out of the car, on the track, off the track. They've had plenty of issues, right? I mean, it's it just always hasn't been the car. It's been, you know, less than, you know, solid race strategy and calls from the pit wall. There's been a lot of things that they've had to deal with. And, you know, it's very frustrating to watch a team as big and successful and historic as Ferrari do some of the things that they've done. But the one thing I disagree with in this statement is that Vasseur says is that we won't be at all thinking about 2025. Of course they are. They got to be developing the car. There are things that are going to have to be, you know, done behind the scenes, and they're going to have to prepare for, you know, Lewis as well, right? But it's not going to be the main focus. Their main focus is going to be the season ahead. I mean, it's not like Lewis is going to be, you know, showing up at Maranello one day for 2025 and Vasseur will be, oh, Lewis, oh, I forgot you were joining the team. You know, absolutely not. I mean, I think we have to just maybe take his statements a little bit, you know, kind of read between the lines a little bit. So when he says that we want to continue on the path of 2023 and we don't want to be thinking about 2025. Yeah, of course. You want to build on the success and the improvements. Well, success, that's a bit of a loaded term, but, you know, they finished the season last year in a much stronger position. Excuse me, then they started the year. So there were some positives. There were some things to look forward to. I mean, they were on pace. They were getting very close to Red Bull, matching Red Bull. So that was a positive. But again, they do have to set some, you know, their sights towards 2025 as well. Now, this is an interesting one. So there's a Yamaha MotoGP rider, Fabio Quartararo. I'll try and say that again. Quartararo. I'll try and say that properly. My apologies. That's a very difficult name for me. Anyways, he said that Piero Ferrari said to him that that the signing of Lewis Hamilton was actually going to happen a couple of days before it actually made the news. And sure, why not? I mean, if you know, you're basically son of the you know, the boss, you know, Enzo Ferrari, who's you know, passed on. Anyways. Quartararo was interviewed by motorsport.com just recently, and he said, quote, "It was strange because I was visiting Maranello a couple of days before the announcement, and Piero Ferrari suggested it to me. But at the moment, I don't know how to interpret it. I didn't get it. I didn't fall for it until it became official. I always remember Lewis at Mercedes. I'm not even aware of his time at McLaren. It's going to be strange to see him dressed in red," end quote. So it's kind of interesting, right? I mean, you have somebody that like Quartararo, pardon me again, who was visiting Maranello and had that that, you know, that comment made to him by Piero Ferrari, and, you know, it didn't actually sink in, right? I mean, it's basically coming from, you know, one of the top people at the team, at that at the organization, and it just must have been so interesting, so hard to, you know, to process. I mean, he just says, "I didn't get it. I didn't fall for it until it became official." And I mean, that I think really reflects how many of us felt, because that was exactly the same way that that I felt the morning that it broke a couple of weeks ago. Was that that morning when I woke up and I was sitting there going through and checking all the news feeds and seeing the news that Hamilton's off to Ferrari for 2025, and it just it was almost so ludicrous and ridiculous at first glance. I didn't believe it. And, you know, I had to kind of keep going until I saw it in a couple of different places. And once I saw some of the, went and searched up the, you know, Ferrari and like some official announcements, that it started to sink in. So obviously this is not a unique phenomena. So it, I thought this was kind of a cool story. Anyways, going to wrap it up with one more story here, but it's interesting just as Lewis is going to be in his final year at Mercedes, that, you know, apparently just going to kind of go back to and finish the show off where we started the show, just sort of talk about the development and some of the new concepts that we're seeing on the cars for this year. But it looks like Mercedes may potentially have figured out one of the things that has really plagued Lewis Hamilton over the past couple of years. And, you know, it was just what they called a spiteful rear end of the W15. So they've, looks like they've sorted something out. So, early last year, Lewis Hamilton had some quotes to say and some things to say, and this is one of them. Quote, "I don't know if people know, but we sit closer to the front wheels than all the other drivers. Our cockpit is too close to the front. When you're driving, you feel like you're sitting on the front wheels, which is one of the worst feelings to feel when you're driving a car. What that does is it really changes the attitude of the car and how you perceive its movement. It makes it harder to predict compared to when you're further back and you're sitting closer, more center. It's just something I really struggle with," end quote. So when you look at the shakedown of the car last week, and it looks at the cockpit has been pushed back from the front axle as much as 100 millimeters, you know, 10 centimeters or 4 inches. And so that means that the chassis, fuel tanks, and gearbox have all been redesigned to accommodate the change in moving the cockpit back and still maintain the maximum wheelbase dimensions of the car. So that's really interesting. That, you know, you kind of have this snowball effect you know, you move the cockpit back, and it doesn't seem like a lot, you know, 4 inches or 10 centimeters, but that's a lot in a race car, especially a Formula One car. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what this translates into on the track. So technical director over at Mercedes, James Allison, said that the complaints were more of what he said were symptoms of the car's weaknesses rather than a cause. And the quote is as follows, quote, "Lewis's way of expressing that is in talking about his seating position. George doesn't ever talk about his seating position, but he describes exactly the same ugliness to the car. If we could fix that instability properly, the only part of Lewis's seating position that he would still dislike is that he sees a bit less of the corner apex because he's a bit nearer the tire than if he was a bit further back. But the actual seating position itself is not giving rise to a perceptual issue that makes it hard for him to detect how to handle the car. Possibly, if he was sitting exactly where he wanted, he might be able to drive a truculent thing with slightly more precision. But the issue there is to get rid of the truculent thing, not to optimize the seating position to handle something that isn't good. Our focus has been making it less horrid, and I would say that the Austin upgrade last year was a mild step forward in that regard. And with a bit of luck, the 2024 car will bring a load more," end quote. So this is an article by Jonathan Noble and Matt Summerfield over in autosport.com. There's some very good pictures, side-by-side pictures that you can see exactly what they're talking about and how they expect this to play out. So that's definitely worth checking out. And the article is how Mercedes F1 team looks to have solved one of Hamilton's bugbears. So there you go. All right. Well, that is going to be a wrap for tonight. A bit of a shorter show this evening, being a holiday Monday here. So thank you one and all for joining me this evening. My apologies for butchering Italian's family names there, but I practiced that one. Honestly, I did before I sat down and hit record. So that is about as good as it's going to get. I don't think, I do my best to try and pronounce different names, but, I knew once I started reading that story out loud that maybe I kind of gotten in over my head. But hey, sometimes you just got to get outside of your comfort zone and, give it a good old try. Anyways, thank you again. And if you want to support what I'm doing here, the easiest, quickest way is just head on over to to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a five-star rating review. That really does mean a lot, helps make the show visible and spreads the word, and really do appreciate everyone that takes the time to support me in that way. Also, head on over to X at Scootery F1 Pod. Give me a follow over there. If you've got something to say, send me an email at scooteryf1pod@gmail.com, or like I said, head on over to X. Look for the pinned post about the link to the where you can leave voicemail for the studio. And I'm trying to get that website up soon, and once I do, I'll be able to give you a proper and easier link if you want to get in touch. Anyways, that's it for now. That's a wrap. Have a great week, everyone. Be back in a couple of days with the weekly show. And until then, take care and bye for now.